blind, lame, sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the pool, the water, whoever then first after the stirring up of the water stepped in was made well. For from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me to the pool when the water is stirred up. But when I am coming, another steps down before you." You have been around people like that? Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. I got a question for you this morning. How long will you sit by the pool? How long will you sit by the pool? I want to talk about this morning overcoming the fear of change. Overcoming the fear of change. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for your grace. Lord, we pray even for this system, the mic system right now. We pray, Father God, that the enemy, the prince of the power of the air, will not disrupt what we're about to partake of right now. Lord, we're asking for your power now. We're asking for your presence now. And we're asking, God, that you'd grant us preaching grace. Forgive me of my sins, clear my mind and heart, then touch the hearts and the minds of your people today. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. You may be seated in the presence. We may, amen, thank God for his word, amen. In this series on change, on this series actually in Fear Factor, it has been a blessing to me because I've learned myself how to overcome different fears. The last one that we need to overcome over all the fears that we talked about is the fear of change. Fear of change is subtle. It's subtle. It operates under the radar, convincing us that there is something that we need to protect. That if we move from where we are, amen, that we won't be safe anymore. Some of us, we resist change. Some of us don't like change. We like things to be the same way all the time. In reality, fear of change is one of the most common reasons for resistance. To change because it stops you from taking action. Amen. Listen, if you keep living your life without wanting to change, you will always be the same. And maybe happy with who you are. Or maybe you're happy with your condition. Or maybe you figured that this is it. I'm content. Amen. And that's fine. But I want to say something to you this morning. There are effects. There are different effects. Amen. That happens to a person when they don't change. First of all, there's the fear of the unknown. The uncertainty about your future. Secondly, there is the fear of failure. You know, tied closely to the need for perfection, this fear promotes anxiety about not getting things done. There is the fear of success, and you can kind of fill in the blank right there. Some of us, we're so afraid to change that really we're afraid of success. Amen. There's the fear of loss. Loss is often associated with change. You see, because change can mean that we lose colleagues. Come on, somebody. That we lose our salary. That we lose our best friends, or we even lose our parking space. Somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something. The fear of loss is may be what's causing you, amen, not to change. There's the fear of upsetting others. Well, if I do this, then everybody's going to be mad at me. So you know what? That's the reason why I'm going to stay broke all the time. Come on, somebody. There's the fear of leaving your comfort zone. But along with those different fears that come with change, there are two things that I believe that hinders us from changing. And number one, it's self-doubt. Come on, somebody. It's self-doubt. It expresses itself in phrases like, I'm not good enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not qualified enough. I can't do it. Not only is there self-doubt, but also there's guilt. Guilt, people that regularly put others' needs ahead of their own are likely to experience guilt if they feel the change they need to make will affect others. Sometimes we stay stuck in bad relationships. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we stay stuck in bad jobs. Sometimes we stay stuck in bad situations because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Come on, somebody. You have to decide one day, amen, what's best for you. You have to decide one day, amen, that you're not living for other people, you're living to please God. And if what you're doing and how you're living is not pleasing God, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time to change. Do I have anybody? You may be saying, this is it for me. I can't do any better. Some people believe they can't do any better. Some people believe that this is it for them. But I want to say something to you. God knows you. Come on, somebody. You're not stuck. Listen, you're not stuck. Listen, in reality, you can move forward. You know why? Because God has given you a will. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we don't like change. I remember when we moved from Missouri City to downtown. We had been in Missouri City for 10 years. And listen, that was a hard move because in my mind, I never thought about the fact that I could leave where I was. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, we'll fix it up. You know, we'll fix it up and we'll renovate it. And then, you know, we'll, and I kept making excuses because I didn't want to change. I'm the kind of guy, if I start something, I'm going to stick with it to the end. But sometimes change is necessary. And let me tell you something. That change that we made has changed our lives completely. Our happiness, our joy. Listen, being in a new house, being in a new environment. Listen, I'll never forget that was one of the greatest steps of faith that I made, but it was one of the greatest decisions I ever made in my life. Because I decided I don't want to be the same. I decided that it's time for change. I can give you different instances in my life where I had to decide that it was time for change, or we had to decide it was time for change. But I want to say this to you. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait until the brook dries up. Don't wait till things go bad to want to change. Come on, somebody. See, sometimes that's what we're waiting on. We're waiting on things, or things just get bad. They get so bad that we're like, man, you know what? It's time to change. When God had told you like a year ago, it's time for you to move on. It's time for you to try something different. It's time for you, amen, for the sanctity of your family and your faith. It's time for you to move on. Do I have anybody? Today I want to, my aim is to assist you in overcoming the fear of change and embracing the future that God has for you. You see, we serve a progressive God. We serve a God that changes. Amen. Now, he never changes as far as his character is concerned, as far as his attributes, but God change. God is into change, right? Watch this. Seasons change. Come on, somebody. We're moving from the summer to the fall. Watch this. We're dressing different. Come on, somebody. We're adjusting our lives differently. We're doing things differently. Why? Because, listen, whether you like it or not, you got to change. Now, listen. If you're still using a VCR, something wrong with you. I don't know where you're getting your tapes from, but you ever notice how society forces you to change? If you're still using cassette tape, something's wrong. Amen. You can't go down to the record store or wherever and try to get you. Matter of fact, you can't even go to a record store. As a matter of fact, they don't exist. You go online and stream your music. Am I right about it? That's called change. I never forget when CDs came out. I said, man, I ain't buying no CD. I said, man, the man trying to force me into his mold. I boycotted CDs for a long time. How many boycotted CDs? Anybody? Amen. Because I like records. I like tapes. That's what I like, right? And for a long time, I didn't buy one until finally I broke down. And I said, man, this is pretty cool. You see, sometimes you're holding your life back from the best things because you're afraid of change. Sometimes, listen, if you try, now there's nothing wrong with trying something new, but here's what I'm going to say to you. It requires that you have a mentality that says, man, I got to change. If your spouse keeps telling you, X, Y, Z, you got to change. Hello, somebody. You know why? Because they know you. Amen. And listen, you got to take that advice constructively if you're going to change. What we find in our passage today is Jesus in chapter 4, he had healed a nobleman's son. Right there in chapter 4, verse 54, it says, then again, a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, he healed this man's son. And so Jesus is going around these different areas, but here we find in chapter 5, it says, now after these things, that's what he was doing. There was a feast of Jews. Now, this feast, they didn't say what type of feast it was, but let me tell you what a feast was. A feast was a form of celebration in remembrance of God. So like they some writers say it was the Passover. And what a Passover was a reminder. Those of you who've been with me on Tuesday night, amen, for gratefulness. It was a reminder of what God had done for them way in Egypt when God had delivered them and the spirit of death had passed over all of the houses because the blood had covered them. Come on, somebody. And so it served as a reminder, and this time of the feast was a joyous time. It was a happy time, and connected with the feast was they going up to the temple to worship. They would go to the temple to worship and to be in the presence of God, right? And so the text says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, amen, a pool. Now, watch this. Which is called in the Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos, that's porches. Now, let me paint this picture for you. First of all, we see the presence of Christ. That is, he went up to Jerusalem. Then we see the pool in Jerusalem. But the word Bethesda means pity or mercy. That's what it means. So in other words, it was the house of pity. Now, I'm going to get to this. Watch this. The porches to the pool provided an entrance for people to come into, watch this, to the pool for a particular reason. Now, I want to say this to you this morning. There are a lot of things that you can do with your life. And one of the things that you and I have to remind ourselves of is this. We have to ask ourselves a question. Why am I here? Come on, somebody. Why do you come every week? Why do you tabernacle from your house? Amen. Up the freeway. Amen. Down 518. Amen. Landing over here on Plum Street. You have to ask yourself the question, why are you here? Now, there's a lot of reasons to be here. But one of the things that these people were doing is that if you look at verse 3 now, it says, now, in these porches, laid a multitude. Now, the word multitude means thousands. Not just hundreds, but thousands. Multitudes. And think about it like this. There's a big pool. There are five porches. How many people can you fit around the pool? But see, there's something interesting about this pool. Watch the text. The text says, and laying there a multitude of those who were what? Sick, lame, and what? And withered. And they were waiting for what? So my first point is, if you're going to overcome the fear of change, I want to say this to you. You ready for this? The company you keep can cause you not to change. Some of us want to be millionaires, but we're hanging around lame, sick, and withered people. Well, y'all didn't catch that. I ain't getting no amens right there. Some of us want change, but the people that we hang with, they have the same mentality as you. So in other words, you have to be around the right people if you're going to change. I'm not saying that you need people to change, but I want to say this. Your environment hinders your change. And the longer that we hang around lame, withered, sick people, amen, waiting for change. See, they wasn't waiting for change. They were waiting for the move of the water. I'm going to get into that in a minute. You see, here's the thing. If you want change, you can't just focus on the external. You have to focus on the spiritual. You see, these people, amen, these multitudes, these thousands were wishing, but watch this, but they were never giving up their spot. You ever notice that? Sometimes you're hanging around people who say they want you to change, but guess what? They ain't giving up their spot. Listen, they're not trying to help you. They're in it for themselves. And that's what I see in the text. is that, watch this, they were all in the same place for the same reason. Watch this. You see, if they get it before you, they will leave you right where you are. You want to change, but they get it before you. But watch this, but both of you were at the same level. If you want to go higher, you got to hang with people that's a little bit higher than you. Listen, it's time for change, y'all. Listen, we have to stretch our intellect a little bit. We have to get around people, amen, who can motivate us to change. Who can help, who can minister to us. Come on, somebody, so that we can change. And oftentimes what I found out is that the company that we keep. Listen, if you keep hanging around lame people, what you think they're going to say to you? The same thing you saying? Man, it ain't going to get no better. You're right, man, you're right, you're right. It's true. We're going to be the same. You're right. We ain't got nothing. Hey, we could do bad. Let's do bad then. Think about it for a moment. Who have you been hanging with? And some of us, we loners. That makes it even worse. I don't want to be around nobody. So who are you going to for advice? Who's going to push you? Everybody needs a little affirmation. Everybody need to turn to your neighbor and say, you can do it. No. Tell them, neighbor, you can really do it. Listen, you can do it. Tell your neighbor, you're smart. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, you're not as handsome as Pastor, but you all right. Seriously, listen. You are a winner. Why do you think I play that song, Champion, all the time? I need to hear that I'm a champion. I need to hear, listen. Wives, you need to tell your husband he's a warrior. He's a champion. Amen. Husbands, you need to tell your wife that she's beautiful. You need to tell her that she can go further. You can tell, listen, the words we speak. And here they are, right? The reason that they're going to church. Why are they going to church? They're going to church for one reason. They're lame. Come on, somebody. They're sick. And they what? They blind. And withered. They ain't got nothing going for them. But they're the ones that run the church. That's good. You remember when you were blind? Listen, we laughing at them, but I remember. But I had to make a decision. I'm no longer going to hang with people who want to just come to get theirs. I'm going to get mine, but I'm going to remain. And I'm going to be better. See, when you get yours, your deliverance, that is. Amen. When you get your change, go get somebody else. What did Jesus say? When you restore your brother, go back and what? Get somebody else. So watch this. Watch the text. Now this is going to mess you up. Look what he says next. He says, verse 4. For angel of the Lord. Now I don't know where they got this from. But let me explain contextually and culturally what's happening here. Text says, for an angel of the Lord went down a certain seasons into the pool and stirred the water, and whosoever then what? Now, what kind of God is that? What kind of God will just extend healing to one person? To one person. Watch what the text says. Text says, and after the stirring up of the water, watch this, stepped in was made what? Well, for of whatever disease with which he was afflicted. So my next point, you ready for this? This is going to mess you up. Let me explain this first. The stirring of the water here, it wasn't an angel. The stirring of the water, it was caused by an underground spring. people believed that the stirring of the water was a work of an angel, but it wasn't a work of the angel. So here's my next point. You ready for this? If you're gonna overcome the fear of change, our superstitions can cause us not to change. But I ain't living on that side of town. True, they say stuff be happening over there. Superstition, lies, stuff you heard somebody else say. You know why some people go to them churches? They'll be putting their hand on folk and stuff like that. Because I went and it happened to me. It can happen to you. Had a guy told me that the reason why he goes to this temple is because they were praying for a child, and because they went to this place and received light, they got a child. Superstition. See, they needed something to believe in, and they believed in superstition. And many of us, if we're not careful, we have a lot of superstitions. We have, listen, we won't go certain places. Come on, somebody. We won't do certain things. Amen. Maybe young people don't know what superstition is. But I want to say certain things we won't do because we're superstitious. Amen. Very superstitious. No, I'm sorry. See, y'all, you remember that. Amen. Watch this. It was, listen. The Bible nowhere teaches, watch this, that this kind of superstition was real. The Bible didn't teach anything about that. But these people, they put it on the Lord's angel, watch this, and they didn't understand then, but it was the spring that was stirring the water at certain seasons. And sometimes the reason we haven't changed is because we have believed other people's lies. We have believed certain things about ourselves. Listen, you've been broken free. God has set you free. Listen, the black cat can't get you. Come on, somebody. The rabbit foot ain't going to cause you to win the scratch off. It ain't going to happen. If you look in the mirror, it ain't nothing, broken man, ain't nothing. You're not going to have 7 years of bad luck. You and I have to get over these superstitions. And guess what? It started when we were little. Somebody lied to us. Somebody told us you can't do this or you can't do that because of this. And I want to tell you something. It's a lie. And so the question is, how long have you been sitting in the same place, watch this, based upon superstition? You could have been moved. Well, see, the reason why them doors ain't opening for you is because of X, Y, Z. No, those doors can open for me. I tell you why those doors can open for me. Because I serve a great God. See, here's the thing. If you know you right with God, then you ain't got nothing to worry about. See what I'm saying? It doesn't mean you're not going to suffer, but when you suffer, you're going to share the suffering and you're going to walk right through that thing. Superstition has caused us to, I was blown back. I said, man, our superstition can cause us to think that if we try something new, it's wrong. Oh, don't miss that. Don't miss that. You see what I'm saying? That, watch this, that we will not make it, that we will fail, that, watch this, that it will not work out for us. And somebody here this morning, I want to tell you, it's not just people, it's your culture, it's your superstitious culture that has caused you and I to stay the same. I'm going to try something new. How many are going to try something new? Come on, somebody. It's time for change. How many are ready for change? Listen, you don't have to be broke. You don't have to struggle like your mama struggled. You don't have to struggle like everybody else. That's not your story. But see, because we won't change, we believe we got to stay the same. Just because you came from a broken family doesn't mean you can't have a perfect marriage. Come on, somebody. Just because you came from a family that didn't finish college doesn't mean you can't go and finish college. Just because you're older now, guess what? You can rise up and do something different, because guess what? God has given you the power to make change in your life. And I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You got to stop allowing those mind controllers. Come on, somebody. To stop you. People who think they can curse you. Nobody can curse you. You're covered in the blood. The blood of Jesus covers you. So whatever you say, guess what? That's mind control. I'm talking to somebody, am I? Listen, you got to get over that superstition. And I used to be bad with that, man. Come from Trinidad, man, boy, man, I said, what are you talking about? Yeah. I used to be bad with that superstitious stuff, man. I'm like, man, nah, I ain't going to do that. And what I realized I was doing is I was, listen, let me tell you something. When a person knows that they can't do any better, they're going to look for somebody else to keep them right where they are. And if you keep hanging around them lame, sick, blind, and withered people, you and I are going to stay the same. It's time for change. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time for change. No, you got to really say it. It's time for change. No, you got to mean it today. It's time for change. Amen. Now, don't go home and get knocked out now. Talk about, we finna change this blind, baby. Like, whoa, hold on now. You didn't see. Now, do that. You'll see what happens. Okay, all right. So here. You ready? Y'all ready for change? How many of you ready for change? I want everybody to stand up. Tell y'all finna mess with y'all today. Hold your Bible in your hand now. Yeah. All right. Now, I want you to switch sides. Come on, just switch sides. Leave your stuff. Just switch sides. No, side. There, go. Yeah, there you go. Ronnie, come on this side. Switch sides. Yeah, come out your comfort zone. There you go. All right, sit down right there. Sit where you fall. Yeah, right there. Uh-huh. That'll mess you up. Look at you. Look at you. Like, where do I go? What do I do? See how change works? We're like messed up now. Where's my stuff? Where's my purse? Oh, shoot. You were so comfortable, I wanted you to get comfortable. Where's your stuff? You're like, oh, shoot. Now stay right there. Let's see if you can still pay attention. Messed up, ain't it? You feel kind of different, don't you? Different? All right, go back. All right. Look, everybody, look how fast. Now, stay where you are. Now, go ahead. Right. Now, don't, Devin, move from your wife. Sit somewhere. Yeah, sit right there. Stay right there. You got your Bible? That's all you need. See how messed up that feels? You're like, man, where my stuff at? We start thinking, right? See, we got to stop thinking so much. And we just got to believe. See that? We got to believe that change is good. Are you with me? Watch this. Watch what he said next. Verse 5. You got your Bible? Got your iPad? Y'all ready? All right, watch verse 5. And a certain man. Now, see, this is the part that really got me right here. And a certain man was there. Now, out of all the men, Jesus said, a certain man who had been 38 years in his sickness. This man had a condition that was bad. But he didn't go to the doctor where he could get well. He went around this superstitious stuff. He believed what everybody, listen, only one person can get well. One person out of thousands of people, listen, his chance, he was better off playing the lottery. But watch this. He had been ill for how many years? So here's my next point. You ready for my next point? You ready for this? We must believe it's possible to change. And I'll tell you why he didn't believe. But he kept going. He kept believing in something that wasn't real. And isn't it amazing how we can have a stronger belief in what the devil is offering? Come on, somebody. We can have a stronger belief in those strongholds, in those things that Satan has lied to us about. We can have a stronger belief in those things, and we cannot believe that it's possible for us to change. You know why? Because we've been there so long. Somebody here today, you've been around that block so many times. You're still doing the same thing. You're still saying the same thing. But 38 years, watch this. The word, when it says he had been ill, it meant that it had a hold on him. By implication, the word means to continue to be in possession of. He had embraced his condition and he had finalized his condition as, this is it for me. It's final. I'm the same. I'm never going to change. You see, he was sick, but yet he kept on going to the pool. Why? But his hope was in something different. His hope wasn't in Jesus. His hope wasn't in God. His hope was in the pool. The question is, what is your hope in for change? And if your hope is not in Jesus, then you will not change. Come on, somebody. Somebody, you want to change your attitude, you've been looking to the wrong thing. Jesus can fix it. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit can change you, can transform you, can make you into the person that God wants you to be. You got to stop speaking, I'm angry all the time. I'm mad all the time. I'm not going to be different all the time. Listen, what are you putting your hope in for change? He says, the text says he had been there 38 years. Look, verse 6. And when Jesus saw him laying there, now this is the part that really got me. He knew that he had already been a long time in that condition. And he had been there what? Long time in that condition. So my next point is this. Our condition can cause us to fear change. You see, at first, he didn't believe it was possible to change. But because of his condition, listen, you may be in your condition this morning. You may have said, you know what, I messed up my credit. Amen. I can't get nothing. I can't even buy nothing. Amen. You may have said, I messed up that job. I messed up in that relationship. I done wasted time with that fool. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. You know, you may be saying a whole lot of things. But may I say something to you today? Your condition is not final. Your condition is just a condition. And conditions, watch this, are meant to be healed. Come on, somebody. Jesus knew him. That's a good thing. But Jesus knew something about him that he knew about everybody else. This man had been going there for 38 years, and every time he got there, somebody went ahead of him. And that's been your story all your life. You've been the underdog. You've been overlooked. You've been underappreciated. But I want to say something to you today. It's time for change. It's time for change. See, may I say this to you? Don't allow your condition to stop you. Don't allow your financial condition to stop you. Don't allow your education to stop you. Don't allow your background to stop you. Don't allow your spiritual condition to stop you. Because guess what? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Listen, we that's the thing we do. We blame our condition for why we act the way we do. No, you need to change. You need to stop and look at me in the mirror and say, me, we got some problems. Lord, point out in me, Psalm 139, the last two verses. Point out in me, God, anything that offends you, and sit there with a pen and piece of paper and start writing how bad you are, how messed up you are, how angry you are, how hurt you are, how dysfunctional you are, so that God can fix your condition. How paranoid you are. Amen. That's a condition. But because you said to yourself, man, I've been doing this all my life, that's the reason why you won't change. You've accepted your bad condition as part of you, and you better stop that. Come on, somebody, say you need to stop that. I say this to you, don't allow your condition to stop you. Listen, you can be happy, and you deserve to be happy. You deserve to smile. You deserve to have joy. After all, you only have one life to live here on earth, and then comes the other one. But while on earth, amen, we all got a condition here this morning. All of us. We got, sometimes I'm fly off the handle, like, man, what's wrong with me? Amen. My condition sometimes causes me to believe that I can't change. I never forget I done tried everything to get rid of anger. My mama done gave me St. John Worth. She done tried to put me on Prozac. She done tried to, what's wrong with that boy? You follow what I'm saying? But what was, it was my condition. And let me say something to you first. First things first. Your spiritual condition is what I'm talking about. When your spiritual condition is changed, then you can change. And may I say this to you? It's more than you just showing up at church. It's more than you just saying, well, I can read my Bible. No, it's you saying, Jesus, I need you. I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. I surrender. See, there's a lot of people who know about God, but they are not saved. And that's the reason why they keep living the way they do. Watch this. Look what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, do you wish? Now, my question is, why did he even ask? Because what I found out, look what he said. Do you wish to get well? See, when I saw this, I was like, man, that's when I thought about change, right? So my next point is, and here's the question, you ready? Do we really want to change? Write that down. That's my next point. Do we really want? Do we really want to change? How many want to change? You really want it? Do you wish to be made well? You've been laying at that pool. Somebody here, you've been laying at that pool wishing that you can change. You've been laying at that pool crying and weeping, and you've been saying to yourself, man, I want this change. I wish it would be me. I wish it would be me this year. I wish it would be me. I wish it would be me. And then every time, amen, you think it's you, it's somebody else. But I stopped by to tell you, Jesus stepped by that pool. And when Jesus steps by that pool of pity, guess what? He has pity on everybody. Now, the beautiful thing is when he says, do you wish to get well? It's in the indicative mood, which means it's a fact that you're going to get well. It's in the active voice, which means the active voice says that the subject produces or participates in the action. Do I have anybody? But it's in the present tense. You see, if you really want change this morning, Come on, somebody. How bad do you want it? Come on, somebody. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want your change this morning? How bad do you want to be set free this morning? I'm asking you a question. That wasn't nothing. I was asking you a question. The question today is, how bad do you want it? Some of us say we want change, but when the opportunity presents itself, we run in the other direction. Come on, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want your change? How much do you want to be changed? How much do you want to be transformed? Somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something. Jesus is available right now. You can change. I want to tell you, I want to ask you again, how bad do you want it? Because he wants to change you. He wants to transform you. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. How bad do you want it? I know you say you want it, but you're not doing anything about it. You're still at the pool. When you leave here, you're going to go right back to that pool. But let me show you something. Verse 7. Now see, here's the thing. See, this is why I said that. So the sick man answered him, sir. See, this is what the problem is. Now see, the problem is this. He had no one to put him in the pool. Well, duh. Bro. I'm sick, you're sick. You think I'm going to let you go before me? Y'all ain't get the... You think I'm lame, I'm blind, you blind. You think I'm going to let you go before me? Nah, ain't happening. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. I'm going to get mine before I get yours. You follow what I'm saying? Roach, just like crab in a bucket. Crab in a bucket. You ever see crab in a bucket? From the time he get to the top, he's going to pull you down. So his excuse was, so my next point is, our excuses can cause us to fear change. Man, we have a, listen, can you do me a favor? Where's your bag of excuses? Pull it out. Just pull it out. There you go. Now, some of you need two hands. You got your bag of excuses? Pull out your bag of excuses. Come on. My daughters are good at this. They got an excuse for everything. Well, Daddy, see, what had happened was, look, he asked him a question. Now watch this. If Jesus asks you, see, this is the point of not knowing who's asking you if you want change. This is the point of what I'm trying to say to you today, is if you don't really know Jesus, then you won't really know who's asking you, do you want to change? He said, sir. Yeah. So it tells you that he wasn't a believer. I have no man. That's what the problem is. Problem is, we've been focused on man for our help. We've been trying to deal with people to help us. Listen, God will elevate you. God will give you help, but you got to want it from him. He says, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. How long will we blame others for not changing? How long will we say, they held me back? They did this. They did that. They are the reason I don't. I won't. I can't move forward. I'm going somewhere with this. How long will we keep blaming other people and giving excuses for being the same? And I want to say to you today, he had been asking, Jesus had asked him, does he want to be healed? But here he is blaming somebody else for not receiving, come on somebody, his healing. And I'm talking to somebody here this morning. God is trying to tell you, It's time for you to stop making excuses for why you're not doing better, for why you're not financially stable, for why you haven't finished school, for why you haven't found your purpose yet, for why you're still the same. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. I want to tell you something. It's time for change. And Jesus is trying to tell you that you got to stand up and accept what he's offering. But you got to stop making excuses for why you are where you are. The Bible says in verse 8, Jesus said to him, okay then, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. If we're going to overcome the fear of change, lastly, we must be willing to obey Jesus and walk by faith. I'm going to say it one more time. We must be willing to obey Jesus and walk by faith. The Bible says that this man had been 38 years. I'm talking to somebody here. It's been a long time since you stood up and walked by faith. It's been a long time since you stepped out on faith. Time for change. I want to tell you, it's time for change. The Bible says, Jesus says, arise, take up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well. Do I have anybody here this morning? It's time for you to stand up and walk, and you'll find out while you're walking that your change is come. Somebody here this morning, the reason why he told him to take up his pallet, because his pallet is a reminder of where he been. Do I have anybody? Sometimes we got to take some things from our past into our present so we can remind ourselves that I'm not going back to that fool. I'm not going back to those bad places. I'm not going to mess up anymore because my pallet is telling me a story. Do I have anybody here today? You see, there was a doctor, and he said to the patient, you are in a terrible condition. You've got to do something about it. First, tell your wife to cook more nutritious meals. Stop working like a dog. Also, inform your wife you've got to make a budget and she has to stick to it, and have her to keep the kids off your back so you can relax. Unless there's some changes like this in your life, you'll probably be dead in a month. Doc, the patient said, Doc, this would sound more official coming from you. Could you please call my wife and give her those instructions? When the fellow got home, his wife rushed to him and said, baby, I talked to the doctor. She wailed and said, I talked to the doctor and the doctor told me everything. She said, poor man, you only have 30 days to live. I'm going somewhere. Sometimes change is hard, but you got to know that we got to do some hard things if we're going to change.